Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We all pretty much probably have this hanging up in our house somewhere. We have it written down somewhere. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And if I could have you skip down to verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then verse 32. Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. So, I want to talk here, this is the Hall of Fame of Faith that God gave us here in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk about one of these men tonight quickly, and that is a man named Barak. And in a moment, you'll understand why I named this sermon Star Wars. Barak was, thank you, Courtney. It's not for that reason. Barak was God's hero of faith, and he led the children of Israel in a victorious battle against their ancient enemy, the Canaanites, right? Everybody disliked the Canaanites back then. And as the commander-in-chief of the Canaanite army, there was a man named Sisera. And I want you to turn backward in your Bible now to the book of Judges. This is where most of our text is going to come from this point forward. The book of Judges, chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 20. And that's where we're going to get a lot of the meat and potatoes here on this man, Barak. Judges chapter 5, verse 20. It says, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now let me give you the background for the passage of scripture that we're going to study. And incidentally, most of it is going to be from Judges chapter 4 and 5. But let me just tell you that that Israel was in a deplorable condition here. Sin was a pandemic in the time that we're looking at here. The people had turned from God and had gone into idol worship. And God had sent his judgment upon the people, and the armies and the Canaanites had surrounded the people of Israel, and it did not look good. And for 20 years, they had been subjugated. They were so afraid, they wouldn't even travel in another city. For good reason, humanly speaking, because that would have been very bad for them. If they wouldn't have died, they would have certainly been robbed. They would have certainly had great bodily harm given to them. People were afraid to live in the countryside. They had barred themselves in the cities behind closed doors because the streets were unsafe at nighttime. And they cried out to God and they said, God, deliver me. We need your help. God, deliver me. Suffice it to say, the background for the story that I'm going to tell you is a time that Israel was in desperate circumstances. And let me tell you, we're also living in a time today of desperate circumstances. But these were dark days in Israel, and we're going to see when we get into the scripture, and yet God raised up some people of faith who dared to believe God, and God reversed that situation. And that's what I've said it many times to anyone who will hear. This church has many people in it that can be just like this. Just like this. But it takes a couple of things. It takes courage, it takes faith, it takes a lot of things. We're going to look at that today. Because what God's done before, God will do again. God can do again. And God gave a man named Barak a great victory, and it was a victory of faith. So there are three things I want you to learn. Three quick points tonight I want you to learn about Barak and his faith. Number one, first point, I want you to see his infallible source of his faith. The infallible source of his faith. I'll just give you all three right now. Number two, I want you to see the incredible success of his faith. And number three, I want you to see the invincible strength of his faith. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about the infallible source of his faith. Judges, not his face. I don't know what he looked like, so I can't say that with all. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years He mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, the tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh-Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river of the Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now this is the running start that we see in this whole thing. Now, if you just read this passage, it doesn't sound like Barak is this big, faithful guy. Right? I mean, we're not getting that here. He says, well, all right, if you go with me, I'll go. Right? So right now, we're not getting a very good start. It's a little herky-jerky. But let's keep looking at it. So we're going to look at Barak and his faith. And we're talking, first of all, about the infallible source of Barak's faith. What was the infallible source of his faith? Faith. Man. If I keep saying face, just know I mean faith. Look, if you will, in verse 6. She, Deborah, sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh-Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, and then she gave him, being a prophetess, the word of the Lord. Alright, that reminds me of Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look, faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not simply believing what you want and then wishing for it. Faith is getting a word from God. It's getting direction from the Lord. Faith is hearing God's word and then acting upon it. That is faith. So let me tell you how Barak's faith came into being. First of all, he heard the word of God. He heard it. Secondly, he believed the word of God. But it's still at that point, it still wasn't faith. Hearing the word of God is not faith. Believing the word of God is not faith. Thirdly, this is when faith comes to action. He acted on the word of God, and that is where faith comes. He heard the word of God, he believed the word of God, he acted upon the word of God. I have a very good example of that. You all planning a church in Crystal Lake. It's not a lot to say, yeah, you know, I've heard that God wants to send people out, and he wants churches to reproduce themselves, and there's not a believing Baptist church in Crystal Lake. I heard that. But that's not faith. I can believe that he wants somebody to do it. Maybe he even wants us to do it. I can believe that. But unless I put my money where my mouth is and I act upon it, it doesn't do anything about it. That goes for Nicole and I as well. I can come up here and say till the end of time, I've been saying it for 10 years. I feel like the Lord is leading me one day to plant a church. And if God puts that in front of me and I say, well, that seems scary. I don't know about that. That's not faith. That's not action. The Word of God is translated into faith when we take it, believe it, and then act upon it. Faith is belief with legs on it. When we act upon faith, then the Word of God is translated into faith in our lives. And this man, Barak, then, had a faith that was rooted in the Word of God, where it should be rooted. And it began with the faith of a woman named Deborah. Deborah had faith in her heart. She was the prophetess, and she knew how to get in contact with God already. And thank God she'd heard the word of God and was able to pass it along to this man named Barak. Sometimes we need to find some sort of counsel. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes when we have these decisions in our life, we have to go to somebody. Now, luckily today, you have the equivalent of what Barak had here. With this prophetess, you've got a pastor who's here. That's why God has him here for you. That's what he's here for. He's here so that you can go to him when you have these decisions, when you're not sure, when you're unsure about something, you can go to him. He can help you. He can make things clear. Because sometimes, look, we read the Word of God, God tells us what we want to hear, and we got lots of stuff swirling around in this little brain of ours, right? And we make ourselves believe, well, I know that's what God wants, but He doesn't mean that for me. Right? That can't be right. Then you go to pastor, and he's like, yeah, that's right. And you're like, oh, okay. But how we react to that, that's how we know that we have that faith. It's how we respond. So Deborah knew that God wanted to give the victory to His people. And she had the faith, but she couldn't lead an army. She needed the man to lead the army. She had the faith, Barak had the feet. Also, she got with Barak, she said, here's what God wants us to do. She gave him then the message of God. And now his faith, at first, I'm not going to lie to you, it was weak. I think we can see that here. I don't think there's any sugarcoating it, trying to make it seem better than it was. His faith was weak. I mean, he said, well, I'll go, but you need to go with me. And if you don't go, I'm not going, right? That seems a little shaky. Now, he had faith, but it was a little faith. But you know, God blessed that faith anyway. God blessed it anyway. I want you to learn something else. Even though this man had a weak faith, a fearful faith, he's still listed here in the Hall of Fame of Faith. He's still listed here. Now that's crazy, right? Like it seems weird that he's listed amongst all these other ones. And that's so important. So don't forget that. It's not great faith in God that you need nearly as much as faith in a great God. That's what you need even more. Faith can be grown, but you got to have it first. He didn't have a great faith, but his faith was in a great God. You see, Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, a tiny little mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Jesus didn't say that to just have some spiffy saying, something that'd be cool to like, put in a poster, have a mountain there and be like, oh, you can move mountains, right? Jesus didn't do that to have his saying put on a cat poster. Jesus did that because what he's trying to tell you is your faith does not have to start out gigantic, right? We say that to people in almost everything else. We say to newly married couples, for example. Financially, most times as you start out when you're 18, 19 years old, just getting married, you're a bunch of youngsters, your baby face, and you just get married, don't try and have the same cars, the same house, the same furniture, the same everything else as your parents. Why? Because you're just going to go into debt, and then you're going to be in debt the rest of your life. You're not going to have everything your parents have. Your parents have had that for years and years. They had to go through the hand-me-downs, too. They had to go through whatever, too. They had to go through all of that stuff. And they probably don't have kids anymore. You're going to be broke now because you have kids. Congratulations. But we love them so much, right? Like we tell that in every other situation. We tell churches that are starting out, well, you're going to start out with a few and then you're going to come. So, you know, you'll meet in your house first or you'll have a small building and you'll grow and then you'll add on. You don't tell a church that's just starting out with like two people and say, hey, let's go buy a 10,000 seat auditorium. Oh, I have faith though, brother, that we're going to have 10,000 people one day. Well, that's great. Good luck paying that mortgage, right? It's not always how faith works. Here, Barak had this small faith. What did Jesus mean by that? Faith like a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed's so small you can barely see it if it's in the palm of your hand. It's about the size of a fleck of pepper. But what did he mean by that? He wasn't putting a premium on little faith. He wasn't saying little faith is great. But what he was saying was this, that the least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. That's what he was saying. The least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast it into the sea, and it'll be done. Here was a man named Barak who had little faith, but he used what faith he had. He worked with what he had at the time, at that moment. He didn't just hold the mustard seed in his hand, and he planted it, he invested it. He began to grow because he had growing faith. And today your faith may be weak, but it can grow. And one of the things that can help your faith grow, or two of the things, are the same things that help this man. First of all, he heard the Word of God. Secondly, he was associated with the people of God. You see, faith is as much caught as it is taught. And it was the faith of Deborah that encouraged the faith of Barak. Why is it that God wants us to have churches nowadays and be around His people? Is it because we're all so good looking and great and awesome? Well, not all of us, right? Like, it's because iron sharpens iron. I'm around God's people. Sometimes I get it just by catching it, right? Sometimes I walk by Mark Combs and he tells me something in the hallway and I'm encouraged just by him saying something to me, right? Sometimes I hear about somebody's, you know, troubles up here and I'm convicted to help them just by hearing about the problems. How would I hear about that if I'm just sitting at home watching football? I wouldn't hear about that. I wouldn't know about that. I wouldn't be encouraged. But I am because I'm here. Do you want your faith to grow? Get with God's people and get in God's Word. Now that's simple, right? That sounds very simple. I'm making it sound very simple. Get with God's people. Get in God's Word. The Bible says when you come to a church, we here in church are to exhort one another. Did you know that you can come and sit through a service like this and hear God being praised and hear God's Word preached and you can go out with a heart full of faith? Because faith will grow. Because we should be encouraging one another. That's what we're here for. We exhort one another. You see, you run with people of faith and before long you'll have it because faith is contagious. It is. Some of the times when I feel as though I've been the most down here, it's been either my wife or certain people who I really talk to here. Like, talk to seriously here. Not just in the hallway. That encourages me too. It encouraged me when I talk to you guys and you know, you guys encourage me and hopefully I encourage you. But so, you know, when I'm really down talking to somebody, it's my wife and some of the certain people I talk to here, pastor, that really helps you, right? It really encourages you because it's contagious. And that's why we're here. You show me the crowd you run with and I'll tell you the kind of person that you are or the kind of person that you're going to soon become. If all of my closest friends, if the only people I can talk to are unsaved people, well, don't be surprised when you're acting like an unsaved person, when you make decisions like an unsaved person. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to feed our faith and starve our doubts. Get with the people of God. Get with the Word of God. Get in the right context. That's what Barak did. And he had a weak faith, but it grew, and God used that little faith of his. And when we get to the bottom line, I want you to hear it, that the infallible source of his faith was the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, I want you to notice the incredible success of his faith. One of the greatest military victories that was ever won by Barak was when he fought the good fight of faith. I want you to read here in Judges chapter 4. I want you to look in verse 10. Verse 10. And it says, "And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him." You say, well, look, that was a pretty good army. That's 10,000 people. Well, I mean, I guess if you compare it to somebody like Gideon's army that had 300 people, I guess it does seem like a lot. But it wasn't a big army compared to what Sisera had here. Look in verse 13. It says, "And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron." Now, that's hard to even compare apples to apples with something that we would have today. I mean, the effect on a chariot to a man would be the effect of like a tank on a man. So imagine an army full of just men standing out there with rifles, right? Now remember, these guys didn't have rifles either, so just remember that. But an army of men standing out there just lined up with rifles and 900 tanks coming at them. 900 tanks. Now, any, you know, smart person, let alone a military tactician, would say, okay, the 900 tanks are going to win. Either the men are going to run away, or they're going to either be blown up with big bullets, or they're going to be run over and squished. One or the other, that's bad for the men, right? Judges chapter 4, verse 13. "And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harodesh of the Gentiles under the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera unto thine hand. It's not the Lord gone out before thee. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him, and the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Herodes of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Now what a battle that had to have been to have seen. Now here's what happened. Barak came out with his army of 10,000 men, and Sisera came out with his mighty army of 900 chariots. And Sisera's thinking, look, there's no way I'm losing this battle. There's no way. I don't have to worry about this guy named Barak. I'm just going to tear him to pieces. I've got the superior army. I've got the better track record. I've been undefeated for 20 years at this place. I've got all these successful campaigns behind me. There's no way I'm losing this fight. But it's too bad that he didn't know Psalm 20, verse 7, that says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In our country today, we have to remember that verse. It doesn't matter our military might, who our president is or isn't. Now again, you can plug anything in. Some trust in family, some trust in money, some trust in jobs, some trust in churches, some trust in whatever, and some trust in whatever, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. If God doesn't save us, we're gone. He is our only hope. That's it. That's the only thing we've got to stand on. God is our only hope. Not only is God our only hope, now I don't want you to take this negatively here, God is our biggest threat. Russia is not our biggest threat. China is not our biggest threat. God is our threat. I'm not nearly as afraid of what China might do to us as I am of what God might do to us if we don't get this thing right soon. Let me tell you something. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness on high places. Humanism is an idea. Communism is an idea. Atheism is an idea. Materialism, liberalism, those are ideas. And you can't kill an idea with a bullet. The only thing that can bring down an idea is a better idea. And that is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of our Lord, our God. And so remember, we've got Sisera here, who comes to the battle supremely confident due to his superior numbers and such. And do you know what happened? When the battle started, it began to rain. And you talk about a rainstorm. It rained that day. I want you to look at some of the verses of Scripture here that describe the rain that day. If you're not close, you don't have to turn there, but Judges chapter 5, verse 4 says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Sire, when thou marchedest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. Now, have you ever heard the expression, the bottom fell out? Well, here's the bottom falling out, right? Judges 5:21, the river Kishon swept them away. The ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. And so here comes old Sisera, and he has his 900 chariots of iron that he was counting on so much. That was his linchpin. And God let it begin to rain, and the battlefield became a swamp. I want you to hear Josephus. He's a secular scholar, a historian, and I want you to hear how he described the battle, because it's funny sometimes to hear this from a secular viewpoint. He wrote about this battle. They joined battle, and as the ranks closed, a violent storm came on, and much rain and hail, and the wind drove the rain against the faces of the Canaanites, darkening their outlook so that their archers and their slings were rendered useless, and their heavy-armed soldiers, because of the cold, were unable to use their swords. But since the storm was behind the Israelites, it caused them less harm, and they further took courage from their belief in God's assistance, so that driving into the midst of the army, they killed many of them. We serve a great God who can overcome any odds. And God gave a marvelous victory there because of a rainstorm that day. I'm talking about the incredible success of his faith. And what happened to Sisera? Well, verse 17 of chapter 4 tells us Sisera started running. He ran away like the coward that he probably was. And this mighty Canaanite general ran for his life. He came to a tent. There was a woman in the tent. Her name was Jael. And she said, oh, come in. And she gave him some milk to drink. And he said, I'm really tired. So she said, lay down on my floor. So he laid down on the floor. And as he went to sleep, she took the tent peg, drove it into his head, nailed his head to the floor. And there's the way that the mighty general died, at the hand of a woman in her tent. Now, we're thinking about the incredible success of the faith of this man named Merak, but the third and the final thing I want you to see, not only the infallible source of his faith, not only the incredible success of his faith, but number three, I want you to notice the invincible strength of his faith. And we come back to our major text, Judges chapter 5, verse 20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now, I want to tell you that the battle was already lost for Sisera before he even began fighting. The outcome was already figured out. It was already won for Barak before he ever started. Do you remember what Deborah told Barak? She said, now go on to the battle. The Lord has gone down before you. The victory is already yours. What does this verse mean when it says the stars in their courses fought against Sisera? I'll tell you what it means. I think it means that the whole universe is against the man who is against God. All things fight against the man who fights against God. Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. But I want you to see that the other side of this, that all things fight against the man who fights against God. Sisera was defeated before he ever started. The whole universe was against him. There was no possible way that he could win. Do you want me to tell you what wisdom is? Wisdom, the highest wisdom, is just to find the direction that God's going and join. That's it. You want to find a wise man, it's the man just following God. What way is God going? And that's the way that I'm going. Because if you don't, you're going to have a collision with the stars. If you don't, you're going to stumble over the stars. The stars in their courses fight against the man who fights against God. Here's some examples. What happened to the Roman Empire? What brought the Roman Empire crashing down? I'll tell you what it was. The people of Rome were marching in one direction, and God was marching in another direction. And the empire came crashing down. What about the Egyptians? The Egyptian Empire in the day of Moses. The difference between Pharaoh and Moses is this. Moses lined up with the stars. Moses was in league with the one who scooped out the seeds, flung out the stars, heaped up the mounds. Moses was in league with God. And Pharaoh was in collusion with the stars. You know what Pharaoh should have done when Moses said, let my people go? He should have been like, okay. And gotten his chariot and given him an imperial escort. That's what he should have done. But we all know this isn't what he did. Sin can't win, and faith can't fail. And Barak was a man with a weak faith, but he had a weak faith in a great God. And because of that, the whole universe was behind him. Like Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says, when I consider the heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? When you think of the vastness of the universe, the universes upon universes, the stars upon stars, we all seem very puny, and we are. We seem like we're very puny in the big scheme of things. When you consider the vastness of the universe, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I'll tell you who man is. He is the one that God lines every one of those stars behind when he trusts God. Don't you forget it. Don't forget that. When you are doing what God wants you to do, you've got God behind you. And He's the one that God lines every one of those stars against when He's against God. And when you're going the opposite way, when you're not on God's team, you're going the opposite way. You're trying to push against the Creator of all the stars. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. It's no wonder that Barak won the day against 900 chariots of iron. Sin can't win, and faith can't fail. F.D. Meyer was a great man of God. He said in one occasion, if any promise of God should fail, the heavens would clothe themselves with sackcloth. The sun, moon, and stars would reel from their courses. The universe would rock, and a hollow wind would moan through the ruined creation. The awful message that God can lie. You say, Pastor Allen, as I look around, it seems like sometimes sin is winning in our society today, and sometimes faith is failing. How do you explain that? Well, respectfully, I would say that you just don't see the whole picture yet. The same God who by the planets and the stars has programmed the undefeatable tide is the same God who lines Himself behind you when you line yourself up with Him. Sin can't win, and faith can't fail. The infallible source of faith is the Word of God. The incredible success of faith is the victory that He gives. The invincible strength of faith is the God that God marshals the whole universe behind the man who believes in Him. Have faith in God. God cannot fail. God must prevail. We know how the story ends. Have faith in God. Have faith in God and believe in Him. Even if it's little faith. And let it grow. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray tonight. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy toward us, and we pray in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You would burn this message into our souls and into hearts, and help us, God, in the Star Wars that will depend upon heaven. And Lord, dear God, that will not fight for victory that has already been won at the cross, but we'll look to You in all things, and we'll follow You in a faith that may not always seem as though it's doable at the time. It may not make sense in our finite minds at the time, but we'll continue to follow You with a loving faith. Lord, we thank You so much for this time that we've had to look into Your Word. And Lord, we ask that You can be with us during this time of invitation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we stand, what number is it, Mike?
328.
Number 328. As the instruments begin to play, there's something in your life. You say, Pastor Allen, I have not been living the life of faith that I should. Come and get that right with God today. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's church membership. Whatever it is. Whatever the Lord's put on your heart today, now's the time to get that right.